The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. What do you see, Grasshopper? Wrong! There is always something else. Plus, there's a solution to handle when everything seems like it's against us. We're going to discuss that solution. And then mathematics have been destroyed. How much is God plus one?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. I'm not sure, but I think I heard somebody say SMU tickets. I'll discuss that with Wonder Julie in a second, but I think I heard that. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Mm-mm, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Start off Monday right out of the gate, just acknowledging our very good friend who was on Friday, Clint and Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and smoke, damage, cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services, damage from wind, damage from flood, electrical damage. It does not matter. Mr. Restore is there to help you find restoration for your life, for anything you've encountered. Whether you're a homeowner, whether you're a person that has properties that you manage, a real estate agent, doesn't even matter. You want to get in touch with Mr. Restore at MrRestore.com. You're thinking, well, why? Advanced drying technologies, free evaluations. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB, 50 years of restoration experience, family-owned and operated, and thousands of happy customers. You can go to their website, MrRestore.com. Or you can contact them at 877-631-7576. Don't forget they're closely connected to the Adaptive Training Foundation. We had Mo on Friday. It was really good because we had never done anything like that quite that way. He did a great job. We're really encouraging people to participate and get involved with the Adaptive Training Foundation. A link to both Mr. Restore and Adaptive Training Foundation can be found on our website, davidspoonmedia.com. Let me check in with Wonder Julie, make sure she's good and breathing. How are we today?
I am good and I am breathing.
Both. That is fantastic.
All at the same time.
That's two things at once. Get out.
I'm a multitasker.
You are a multitasker. Let me give a shout out to Ryan Rieger, who I had a chance to talk to today. He's just new into radio. He's on another station, but he's trying to kind of figure his way through. He had some questions. I hope some of the things I was able to share were helpful for him. I will also tell you something. A secret. Okay, it's a little bit of a secret. I reached out to William Lane Craig, and you're probably thinking, who's that? That's what most people are going to say there right at the bat. He is probably one of the top 100 most intelligent people on the planet today. And I saw him speak 39 years ago. I remember the church. I remember everything. Got a chance to get afterwards and talk to him. Genius guy. I have reached out to him and asking him to come on the show. Hopefully he will. If you want to get some really intense philosophical and deep understandings about Christian faith and about God's existence, I encourage you to go to YouTube and type in William Lane Craig. You will be just like, wowza. Wowza. That's short for wows-er. Today, for those that do not know, is a holiday. Probably don't know. You're thinking Thursday, Dave, Thursday. Everything's Thursday. No. It is the only day you get to eat, that and Christmas, where all the holidays go, or all the calories go in reverse. Anything you eat, you minus. So if you eat 1,000 calories, you have a minus 1,000 calories. What do you think?
I've gained 5 pounds just thinking about Thursday.
Yeah, it's I got nothing. I got nothing. But today is actually National Parfait Day. United States Parfait refers to a traditional French-style dessert, a popular variation thereof. We've got parfait ice cream. It's got gelatin. It's got tall, clear glass, topping with creations, whipped cream, fruit, canned fruit. Some of them add liqueurs. The whole nine yards, just so you can know. I thought that was pretty good. I will tell you this, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but 2 days ago, we missed it, and I only bring these things up when they're important. 2 days ago was the first appearance in 1940 of Woody Woodpecker. And so if you get something like that, you got to bring it up, right? So, I mean, happened on, you know, Saturday, 1940. It's like, that's great stuff. For those that do not know, today was also in 1960, the last broadcast of network radio soap operas.
I have heard those.
Ma Perkins, Right to Happiness, The Second Mrs. Burton, Young Dr. Malone, all those. So if you know any of those, you're old. And then finally, born on this day, we don't normally do a birth, but this was a cool one. Carl Friedrich Benz was born on this day in 1844. He is the creator of the Mercedes-Benz. That's interesting. It's interesting. I'm going to talk to Wonder Julie at the break, but we do have some more tickets for a Friday game for SMU, but we're not doing that yet. However, I have to do a call out to Darlene. I think Darlene was the person that won last time, right? She won. I think her name was Darlene. Pretty sure. We wrote the information out.
I don't remember. I passed it along.
Okay.
To the proper people.
The proper authorities. Yes. Darlene, if you're out there, if you're listening, you must get in touch with Tiffany. Time is ticking. Tick, 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 tick. And so if you don't get in touch with Tiffany, we're going to have to give those tickets away. So that's why I want you to get in touch with her. Get in touch with her. What's the station number?
It's 1700 instead of 0770.
Okay, so it's 972-445-1700. If you are Darlene, get in touch with Tiffany so we can get that coordinated. And then in the next segment, we'll talk about giving away tickets for the Friday game. But you're going to have to be on the spot because there's a limited amount of time. Let me go into this right away. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 10 through 11. Oh, and I got a doozy in the next segment, so you don't want to go anywhere. As soon as Saul finished offering the burnt offerings, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the appointed days and the Philistines were assembling, Now, I talked about this on Friday very briefly, and I wanted to finish the expounding on it and talk about it a little deeper. Here is a situation where the timing that God's prophet arriving was running behind schedule according to Saul's watch. You got one of those, don't you? You have a Saul watch. It's a watch that tells you that you know when God should show up. You know, one of those watches that tells you that you know better to tell God, hey, this is your time frame. Let's get going. You got one of those, don't you? And so because his watch was going off, his little buzzer, he decided, well, got to do something. And the whole key in this text, if you really want to use application, is in the last part of verse 11, or first part of verse 11, where it says, Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattering." Ding, 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 ding. Because of what Saul saw, he was freaking out. because he wasn't walking by faith. He was walking by sight. And based on what he saw, he started to take things into his own hands. Now, I got our grandson still in the hospital. We still need prayers from everybody. He's been in the hospital 11 days. Going through seizures and going through different things, they need prayer. My daughter and her husband need more prayer than anybody because that's a really tough thing. Plus, they have two other kids, a 3.5-year-old and a 2-year-old, so it's a lot going on, right? So we're going to probably have to head out to Tennessee in the next week or so to see what's happening there. Here's the thing. I cannot tell you what it is. I can tell you what it appears to be, but there might be greater plans as there always seems to be. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, many people's favorite verse, we love some of it, we use little of it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because as bright as we is, we ain't. Because as bright as we is, we ain't. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. He will give you that direction. He will show you the way to go. He will show you the operation to function in. But first, there has to be an acknowledgement of him. But first, there has to be a leaning not on your own understanding. But first, there has to be a trust in the Lord with all your heart. Notice it doesn't say trust in the Lord with bits and pieces of your heart. Because it's cool that you trust the Lord 50%, but if it's not all, then it's not there. It's got to be all in. One of the things that Jesus said, especially in the Greek, we're going to get into a little bit of Greek study, I think, tomorrow. But in John 17, he said, I have given myself entirely. It's just like there's this foot. Got to go all the way in. Christianity cannot be you and I taking our foot and tapping it on the water and going, well, it's a little cold. You can't be doing one of those things. You got to either be in or you ain't. You're either, I mean, you got to catch that. And it's like, no, we got to be into this. This is how we got to do it. And if we're going to really trust in the Lord, let's trust in the Lord. But Dave, I mean, there's common sense. Faith does not operate under the concept of, it's not faith that produces, that's common sense. Faith is getting out of a boat in the middle of a water that is able to kill you. Faith is going, I'm getting out of the boat anyway. No, that's not common sense. Right. But then again, he was so greatly used of the Lord, he was used by God to help establish the church. No question about it. And it's like, what an honor. It'll never go away from him. It'll never be taken from him. Yeah, he did a lot of dumb things. So do you. But those moments that you step out of the boat. So Saul saw, and then he reacted. Do a little less reacting and be a little more proactive in the operation of your faith. I'm going to try and do that, too. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow men of God moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really. Drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope. Federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I got nothing to say.
There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Please keep in mind, if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. That is our email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com, davidspoonmedia.com. We are, and I'm just going to tell you because we're up against it a little bit financially, and we need a little bit of help. If you like the show and you want to help us out, we have a little donate button on the website because we have to pay the bill. I can't keep going a couple thousand dollars in debt every month and think, yeah, I don't play the lottery very much, so I'm not seeing that as the financial source. Get it? So anything you want to do, we would appreciate it. Be blessed. We would be blessed for it. It would be surely just purely you giving because you feel the Lord's leading you to do that. I want to thank the caller for calling in between the segments. We're not going to be able to get to that today. I promise there will be a time we can, but can't do it today because we are on a tight schedule. Why are we on a tight schedule? We're about to give away tickets again. Uh-oh. Darlene, don't forget to call Tiffany. Darlene, don't forget to call Tiffany. We are in a tight schedule again. SMU tickets, men's basketball tickets. Don't forget Tim Yankovic is the head coach. The Mustangs for Southern Methodist University doing pretty well. They're playing. I think the stadium is called the Moody Coliseum, if I'm correct. I'm pretty sure that's right. Anyway, they're going to be playing on Friday, November 29th. So it's the day after Thanksgiving, right? And it's at 7 p.m. at night. This is for two tickets and a parking pass. Two tickets and a parking pass. They're playing the Abilene Christian Wildcats. Right? SMU against ACU. Okay? Not the person you're thinking. Okay. Here we go. Here's the question. So if you can answer, let me give the number 972-445-0770. Here we go. I just want to make sure you get this. Here we go. To whom did Jesus say, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? Whoa! Do you know that Jesus said that to somebody? To a person, no less. And we already have our caller calling in. To a person! Well, get thee behind me. Now, he might not have used the King James, but, it was that pretty close right in there. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David is Bobby Evans.
Hi, Hi, Bobby. Bobby, you looking to go to the game?
Well, I might get to it if I get to my son. Is that all right?
Let's just say that again, because these are for tickets for somebody to go to the game. So you good for that?
But I'm trying to get them to my son.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, you can get them for your son. Absolutely.
Okay.
You're all right. Ready? Who did he say, get thee behind me, Satan, to?
Peter.
That is correct, sir. That is correct, Bobby. He said it in Matthew 16:23 and in Mark 8:33. Of course, he was saying it to Satan, too. But do you remember what it was, the situation that kind of, if you can do it in a nutshell, just because of our time frame, why Jesus said that to Peter? Do you remember why? Do you remember what happened? Peter had just
not
made
our
this,
opinion right
okay.
now.
All right, Peter had just made this huge confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living
right,
God.
The Son
right?
of the Living God.
So he did really good. And then in the next frame, that's when Jesus is telling them, hey, I'm going to have to die. Things are going to get rough. It's really bad. And then Peter took him aside and rebuked him and said, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. That's not going to happen. And that's when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, because Peter had gotten a little bit of a big head, and now he was telling Jesus what to do.
Well, you know how Satan going to work. You know how Satan works.
Yep. Once you get there, you're like, ding, ding, ding. I know everything. Uh-huh, sure you do. And so that's the key. Good job. Hang on with Wonder Julie. Let her get the information. You're more than welcome to give them to your son. If he's not going to use them, call us back because we definitely want to give them away to people, okay?
Okay.
All right. It's for Friday at 7 p.m. So I'm going to have Wonder Julie take your info, okay?
All right.
Good job, my brother. All right, there he goes. Good job. All right, I have got a unique DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, DDD. This one came about today. It has come about over 41 years of Christianity, but I wrote it today. And I want you to listen. This is the one that says, do you ever feel like things are against you? All right. Have you ever felt like things were against you? Have you ever felt in your mind, well, things seem to be against me. The universe seems to be against me. You ever kind of thought that? You ever processed that? You ever went through that in your mind? So I'm going to give you a list. I'm going to give you a list of off the top of my head, written in less than 5 minutes, a small list of things that we think from time to time are against us. Okay? I want you to get ready. So just calm down. Don't take your eyes off the road if you're driving. If you're listening to radio, just relax. Nobody freak out. Here you go. This is just a list of things that came to my mind about things that seem like they can be against us. Here we go. And I'm just going to read one after the other. The news, television, music, movies, sports teams that we root for, internet connection, never feel like it's against you, sleep, hot water, not being hot, diet, exercise, the food you're eating, noises that scare you, the weather, the traffic, your car, your phone, your laptop, your remote control. Sometimes I push the remote control button 15 times and it doesn't do anything. And then I smack it and then it works. Your mom. You ever feel like your mom's against you? Your dad, your brother, your sister, your kids, your grandkids. Sickness, allergies, bug bites, itchy clothes, bills that come from nowhere on something you've paid. And 6 months later, they send you some other bill that has nothing to do with it. In the mail in general, work. Does work ever bug you? People at work. Do people at work ever bug you? People who are at work, but they don't work with you, but they still bug you. The drive-thru, cold coffee, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. No paid holidays. People who cut you off in traffic. People that skip the line and go to the front. Stuffy heads, being out of shape, family at Thanksgiving. Here's the thing that bugs people. This is the thing where people think things are against them the most. Not knowing. Ooh. Power outages. Kids who think they're smarter than their parents. That's when you think things are against you. Politicians, Democrats, Republicans, politicians, Democrats, Republicans. I had to say it twice. National sins like abortion or antichrist positions, physical frustrations, mental frustrations, emotional frustrations, spiritual frustrations, the world, the devil, your flesh. You ever feel like these things are against you? That's a small list, Dave. I know. It's only 60-some-odd things I came up with in less than 5 minutes. Yet what does the scripture say? What, verse 31, Romans 8, then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That, my friends, is why when you feel like things are against you, when I feel like things are against you, no matter what the realm, in God, in Christ Jesus, in the redemption, in the gift, in the grace that come from God, we are more than conquerors in all of those things. One of the things that gets missed is when Paul gives this list by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And when you feel like those things are against you, and when I feel like those things are against me, and you know some of them I feel that way because I listed the list, then the answer is to remember the truth that it doesn't matter how it seems or how it feels, the truth is that God is for me. And it doesn't matter what tries to be against me if God is for me. That's it. Pretty straightforward. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
We happen to be people who are able to, you know, go with the Lord while the flow is going, while the river is going, while the joy is going, and then something comes in the way like a pebble, like a pebble, and then we trip and we're like, ay, 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 and we don't know what we're doing. Here's the key. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be this superhuman, beyond capacity, exactly like Jesus in everything you say or do in each moment. That's not happening.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
On Christ the solid rock. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to get a hold of some of the music that we do, livinginhisgrip.com is a great way to do that. I hope that these segments and the show has been a blessing for you. We are going to do another trivia question, but there will be no prize. Now, after you have a prize and then you do no prize, so Bobby already answered once. Now we're looking for somebody else to come in and answer. No prize, but it keeps you connected to the Word of God and it helps other people to hear the answers. So, I believe that's really important. We're going to do that in just a second. But first, I do want to remind you, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, davidspoonmedia.com, Facebook, David Spoon Media, YouTube, David Spoon Media. Okay. All righty. So, we're kind of just rolling along. Things are moving along pretty good. In the next segment, I'm going to be talking to you about a passage in 2 Timothy, something I came across in my devotions on Saturday that caught me off guard, and you're going to hear kind of the difference of interpretations. So just preparing your mind for that ahead of time. Okay? That's ahead of time for those that don't know. Okay, here you go. Not a difficult question, but not one I want you to Google. Name the demon. I think we did this one. Oh, well, if we did it and you answered it before, you can call and answer it again. Name the demon Jesus cast out in the regions of the Gerasenes. Name the demon. I'm not trying to give glory to any kind of demon or anything like that. We're doing Bible knowledge. That's what we're doing. And just remember, Jesus cast the demon out. So don't get legalistic on me. I can't stand that. 972-445-0770. What was the name when Jesus goes, "What's your name?" 972, we probably didn't have that little high-pitched voice, but 972-445-0770. If you can name the demon, I want to hear from somebody who maybe hasn't called for a while. Give us a holler, and we will wait and see if we can get that answer. If nobody answers by the next segment, I'll give the answer towards the end of the show. I want to go back to 1 Samuel, and I'm actually tying into Jonathan, if you know who Jonathan is Saul's son and was best friends, great friends with King David. They were great friends before David became king. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 6 through 7. This is at a time of war. Jonathan said to his attendant who carried his weapons, "Come, let's cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will help us. Nothing can keep the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. His armor bearer responded, "Do what is in your heart. You choose. I'm right here with you, whatever you decide." It's really such a great passage. It's incredible. All right, let's understand that there's a garrison of uncircumcised men who are fighting against Jonathan and his armor bearer. Appreciate the armor bearer standing in faith with the person he's working with Jonathan, by saying, "Whatever's in your heart, do it. I'm with you. I stand by you." Some of us could use people like that in our lives. Who just, "You know what, man? I'm with you. Do your best. Let's go. Let's see what happens." You know, sometimes you take a risk in life. Sometimes you do things. And it's good when people tell you, hey, slow down, so on and so forth. But I love it when people say, "You know what? Do what's in your heart. I'm here with you. Let's get it done. I'm on your side." So I like people like that. And for those that have never received that nor given that, I encourage you to do so. Be somebody that takes the risk that we're going to talk about, but you can also be somebody that says, "I'm going to pray for you every day in this endeavor. I got Aunt Deb prays for me all the time." Why? Because she believes in what we're doing. She's there with us. She's like, "Hey, taking the direction. When we did this thing, hey, we're gonna tell people, pay what you feel comfortable with. We're gonna change it into this more of a ministry format." And she was like, "Hey, it's in your heart. You want to do it? Go." And that's like somebody that's like an armor bearer. And that's the most important relationship for support that you can have. But I want to go back to what Jonathan went through and what he saw and what he said. He looks across the way, and there's a garrison of uncircumcised men. Some people think this garrison, and back then the garrisons were about 60 men. I've heard 80 and 120. I've heard some different numbers, but just getting into the Hebrew, it's at least 60, or at least 40, I should say, if not 60. So that's two guys against, let's just for the fun of it, split the difference. Two guys against 50. That's a tough fight. Okay, this isn't the Marvel movies. Okay, this is not Kung Fu the show. This is real life, real fighting, real weapons. And there's going to be 50 on the other side against two. Doesn't seem like the odds are great. That's 1 to 25. Okay, that's amazing if you think about that. Listen to what Jonathan says. He says something that I appreciate that I wish we would use a little bit more instead of being – it's great to be bold in faith. It's different to be arrogant in faith. And by that, I mean this. He said, "Perhaps the Lord will help us." He wasn't so arrogant to say, "God's going to help me because I said so." I have a hard time with that. If God decides not to do something, he's not going to do it, and you're not going to alter that for the most part. Unless he gives you a position to do so. So my point in that is he's in a humility. He's like, "Hey, perhaps the Lord will help us." And then he says this statement that is wondrous, fabulous, great for us to live by in faith. Nothing can keep the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. See, it's not the resources you have. I know that's crazy. It's not the – when you're living in faith, it's not the resources you have. It's the God that you're believing in. Is your God so anemic that he can't multiply? That he can't feed up to 15,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread? Or is your God powerful enough to take little and to make much from it? That's the question. All right, I think we got somebody's answering on the question. Here we go. Hang on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Terry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Great.
I'm not trying to give any glorification to any demons or anything. It's really just a Bible question, so I want to make sure everybody knows that. But do you know the name of the demon that Jesus cast out that was at the region of the Garrisons?
Well, I'm probably wrong on this because my cloudy fourth grade Sunday school mind is much old now. But I think, didn't he say he was Legion?
That is correct, sir!
Oh, all right.
You are correct.
And all right.
What's amazing about that is this is one of the things I always find fascinating. So there's some ministries that still get involved and in some cases it's probably accurate, especially on the mission field, but there's a demonic activity that's cast out. The one thing, though, that I always found strange is people would say, well, ask the demons what its name is. Jesus did. Ask the demon what its name is. But demons are liars. They couldn't lie to Jesus, but to a person, they might go, my name is Old McDonald. I mean, it's like, you have no idea.
Right.
It's like, so, but good answer, good response, excellent job in your fourth grade Sunday
Thank
school.
You.
Very effective, by the way. Good job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right.
It's a great question.
All right. Thank you, sir. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Excellent. Excellent. And for those that are getting going to get mad at me about that, don't get mad at me about that. You know that Satan's the father of lies, and demons lie all the time. What's your name? I'm Sylvester Stallone. It's like, you have no idea. And I've been involved in some of that type of activity. It's a lot creepier than people give credit for. Let's move into the rest of this. I just want to make sure you understand what's going on. So here's wonderful, wonderful Jonathan taking this just fantastic step of faith. And he gives this perhaps, it's the Lord is not held back. And I think that's what I'm trying to really get through. When he was working with Gideon, he took Gideon down to 300 men, and it was 300 against 135,000. You're thinking, no way. Wrong. Wrong. God can take little and make much. You see, the problem is we are a logical people. We do it by the numbers. Human resource is all we have. Wrong. There is God. I even challenge you to go to my Facebook. There's an ontological element to talking about the existence of God. And once God is in an equation, the math gets fuzzy. And here's why it gets fuzzy. Because technically, you and God, no matter what, if it's you and God, if you are in a position, you're the only person in the entire universe, and God agrees with you, then you're in a majority. That'll ruin your statistical life. Like, what? If God agrees with you on anything, in other words, if you're in agreement with God on anything and it's just the two of you, you're in the majority. Because God is the majority. Not everybody else. And it's very important to understand that power, that position, that strength. This is, we're not dealing with, sometimes God can do this or that, but that's if he's not visiting Pluto. Okay. God, not a gaseous little element that hangs out around the planet Pluto. Okay? He's not restrained. He's not withheld by his own abilities. If it's logic or numbers or human resources, God can take it and do more with it than you could ever dream of, which is why preachers will preach, hey, God can do more with your 90% than you can do with your 100%. The fact of the matter is God can do more with your one penny than you can do with anything you make throughout a lifetime. That's the reality. It's like once we catch into his and his wave, then we're surfing the right way with the Lord. There's nothing that restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Perhaps he will bless us. Let's try. I think that's great. I think faith like that is great. I think you should try that from time to time instead of just sitting on the blessed assurance that we have. It was a double entendre. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity Show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White, was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. I read even the bad emails. Don't worry about it. I don't always respond because if I did, I'd get in trouble. But I read them. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Check it out. We got a bunch of new things there. The app is on there. It's a free app. It's right now just for Android. Don't get mad at me. Clint gave me a hard time. It's unbelievable. It's a cheap, inexpensive, simple to use app. But it gives you the ability to listen to the show, go to the webpage, and also check out some of the photos and let's see, the podcasts are on there and some other cool stuff. And I do some links for KAAM so that, you know, you can keep it easy and it shuts off real easy. So I like that. I mean, I need easy. I'm dumb. I need it simple. This is going to be a completely different teaching. I have not done one like this before on the show. We're 175 shows deep, eight plus months in, and I'm going to give you kind of I'm going to give you a general statement from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then I'm going to give you a couple of implications on the statement. Here we go. This comes out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know how those, you know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. The focus I really want to hit on is verse 15, ironically. Verse 15, you know from infancy that you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ. It's very important that when you're dissecting things, you pull them apart, but don't lose the context. So Paul has been talking about difficult times in chapter 3 in 2 Timothy. He's talking about the last days. For those that don't understand how the last days could have started in the early church, you just need to read the prophecy in Joel. When the Holy Spirit gets poured out, that is considered by God to be the last days. The Holy Spirit was poured out, Acts chapter 2. So that's the start time. The argument is when it's going to be the end of that. I understand, but that's the beginning time. You can't get away from that because he says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. So no way to get around that stuff. But he's going through and he's like, the people are going to be bad. He lists 19. Some say 18, but I found 19. 19 different things that people are going to do in the last days, which are all bummers. None of them are good, okay? And then he goes, listen, you keep going. Don't stop. You know, whatever persecutions I endured, you know, the Lord rescued me from them all. He's going to do the same thing for you. Go forward. But then he says this in verse 15. You know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom. Stop. The scriptures are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ. It's not that the scriptures save you. They don't. Jesus in John chapter 5 said, you look to the scriptures to find eternal life, yet they point to me. Okay? So eternal life is faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Scripture says it not once, not five times, not 20 times, but about 90 times, if 95, according to somebody. Here's the bottom line. It's faith in Christ. But the scripture is able to make people gear or get or understand or receive. The problem is most interpreters stop there. And what they say is, scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation. That is correct. But it gives you wisdom for salvation, and not just the beginning of your salvation, but for the whole process of your salvation. Let me read you an alternate translation, which is not far off, so don't freak out, but listen to what they emphasize. And because from your childhood, you were taught that the Holy Scrolls, which can make you wise unto the life in the faith in the Messiah. In other words, the scriptures can make you wise in your life of faith. It not only starts you down the road with wisdom to be able to be saved, but it adds to your ability to walk in wisdom. Scripture isn't just a starting point. It is a continual point because the wisdom of God is poured out in his word. And as you're growing in the faith, different parts of the word become more understandable, more processed. So what I did was I thought, you know, I think that's really true, that scripture obviously in other parts talks about that it strengthens us, gives us wisdom. Even in verse 16, it says it's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God would be thoroughly prepared. It's like, well, scripture does that. That's the evidence. But what I think what we miss is, one, people think that's just professional ministers. Wrong. It's in Holy Writ for all of us. And two, scripture makes you wise for salvation and wise for your salvation, not just to get saved, but to stay in. And it gives you wisdom as to how to walk and how to deal with the world and how to deal with difficult people and how to deal with difficult situations and how to deal with struggles and how to deal with trials and how to deal with all of it. Scripture is the manual or the book that gives us that insight. So why I think that's important is because 25 out of 27 interpreters will only say that the scripture is used to get you saved. But scripture is so much more, and that's evidenced by verse 16 and verse 17, which says it makes the man of God perfect or complete and prepared for every good work. Scripture, when you get into it, you think, oh, read your Bible. I'm so sick of hearing read your Bible. I don't want to hear it anymore. But the scripture and your knowledge of the scripture prepares you. It completes you. It enables you. It gives you wisdom for the walk. It trains you in righteousness. It shows you. It helps you differentiate right and wrong. It shows you how to understand what truth is and how to process that truth. It shows you how to walk in a world that's against you. And that's the intent. God wrote the word so that you and I would go, oh, that's how I got to get through. I got to endure. I got to recognize. I got to, you know, keep my eye on the prize. I got to be mindful of Jesus Christ. I got to be responsive to the Holy Spirit. I got to be in obedience to God. Oh. And those things come from you growing in the Scripture and understanding that Scripture gives you wisdom for that. And people make fun of it all the time. Oh, it's just a dumb book. That's what they say. Those are 99.9999999% of the time, those are people who have never read the Bible. The other 1% is somebody who read it when they were 9. That doesn't count, okay? I read Shakespeare once. I know everything there is to know about Shakespeare. I don't think so. That's the same thing. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to embrace and get into the Word. And yes, I know some of you get, but I read it and I feel, you know, bad. Good. To tell the Lord, I feel bad. I'm not doing this. Help me. That's the intent. He doesn't want you just to read it and go,
I forgot about it.
Or he doesn't want you just to read it and go, you know, I'm just guilty of everything. It makes me feel bad. Well, take that bad feeling and go to the Lord in prayer and go, hey, I'm not even close to this. What is this stuff? Help me. I'm far away. Good. That's a good thing that happens. If you had no response, that would be a bad thing. Better you should read the word and recognize, man, I got a long way to go. Yes, you do. But guess who can get you there? He can. And you're confident of this one thing, Philippians 1:6. He that began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ. It's a weird thing. Like, God started it, and then he said, I'm not going to bother continuing to this person. That doesn't work that way. However, you can put yourself on the side to be less effective. But that's just not wisdom, is it? So we want more of the wisdom to walk in the walk the way God designed us to and the way that God desires us to. And that means getting in the Word of God and hearing what He has to say. That's why it's called the Word of God. Okay? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Most of my life, it
feels like I've been running. Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.